countrywide on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Caller Gas, celebrating 80 years, bringing energy to Ireland's homes and businesses.
5 years ago, Louise McGrann became the first person to resurrect the art of whisky bonding in this country when she established J.J. Corry Irish Whisky on the family farm in Cuaraclare in County Clare, along the Wild Atlantic Way. I know it well. Since then, the company has gone from strength to strength, winning a prestigious gold medal at the Irish Whisky Awards and its products stocking some of the most exclusive clubs and restaurants throughout the world. Next Monday, the company's gates open for the very first time to the public, and Louise is here to tell us more. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
Nice to have you with us indeed. First of all, you grew up on the family beef and dairy farm in County Clare, which is still run by your dad, PJ, who I also know quite well, before life took you in another direction. Tell us about growing up on the farm. What was that like? Go back to your early days first.
Yeah, it was, you know, pretty, anybody kind of my age born in the 70s, pre-Celtic Tiger, would have lived a very similar lifestyle on the family farm. You know, it was a very different time in Ireland. You know, you were expected to sort of have a lot of common sense at a very early age and just get on with things, you know. Yeah. And that stood to me over time, you know, that sort of practical experience and just sort of figuring out means of solving problems, no matter what kind of sticky situation you're in, it's definitely stood to me. But yeah, it was a standard sort of rural Irish pre-Celtic Tiger lifestyle.
So describe for me what it was like, the young Louise McGrann working with PJ on the farm. What kind of things did you do?
There was a lot of shouting. I remember there was a lot of shouting, definitely. And I don't think I was a very good farmer. You know, we had ponies and we had cows. There was a lot of, I remember very specifically being very young and having to pull calves because, you know, when you were kids, maybe you wanted to get a calf out and it was like quite, you needed a sort of a softer kind of hand. I remember getting woken up to go and do that. I remember kind of my neighbour used to come down and sort of butcher a pig once a year and we'd put that in a whiskey barrel actually.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd have that for the whole kind of winter. So it's kind of an older Ireland, I suppose, funnily enough, that's probably gone now.
Absolutely. Well, unfortunately, because it's part of our DNA and our heritage. Now, you later went on to work in the drinks industry, which provided you with invaluable experience. So we start off with Louise with a great farming background and a pragmatic life. Now, the drinks, how did that happen?
It was sort of an accident. I mean, I think I left the country in 1995. So that's, again, pre-Celtic Tiger, a long time ago. I went to university and then went off to America, emigrated to America, and then sort of fell into the drinks industry. I was at an event in New York City and I met a woman who ran a champagne company and she said, come and work for me. Big French champagne company, was quite ridiculous. And that was the very beginning of it. I was about 22, living in New York City, marketing and selling champagne in nightclubs. Like, it wasn't bad at all.
No, particularly for a 22-year-old from
exactly.
West Clare.
Exactly. I wouldn't want to be doing it now, but it was pretty good then. It's pretty good then.
So after so long working so successfully in the drinks industry, I mean, you went from New York, before I bring you back to your farm and back to your roots, you've been in so many parts of the world as a result of your career.
Yeah, New York, London, Paris, Singapore, all with big multinational drinks companies. They kind of tend to move you around. You know, they want to sort of transfer your experience to different countries. Mm. So I was very lucky to see the world while making a living. It was fantastic.
So, I mean, having a rich experience of farming and the drinks industry and after so long working there, why did your thoughts turn to the family farm in County Clare and the idea of returning home? It sounded to me, Louise, like you had a very exotic life.
God, I still have an exotic life down in West Clare. It's pretty spicy down there. You know yourself. I think Irish whiskey was sort of, as a category, it's something that's really had a big resurgence recently in the last 5 or 10 years. And I wanted to kind of be a part of that. I'd been on that corporate track. You know, that sounds really exotic and fun, but like those corporations kind of own you when you're in them. Mm. And I figured I was either going to do that forever or go and do my own thing. And obviously we had the farm. My dad still farms the farm. He's never going to retire. And
good for him.
Exactly. Good for him. And I just felt that, you know, I'm not a farmer, neither is my brother. So, you know, I would have that old school way of thinking of like, you know, the land is quite important and we'll never let the land go or leave the family kind of thing. But how do we secure the future of that, really? And kind of Irish whiskey and the farm kind of ended up coming together, really. You know, it's a great base for us to kind of make our whiskey. And it's great to sort of have that sort of authentic kind of home for ourselves in West Clare. And I wanted to honestly bring something back to West Clare as well and bring a bit of kind of business and sort of industry back there as well.
So where did the idea for whiskey bonding come from? And just how unusual a path was that to take, particularly here at home in Ireland?
Very unusual. So everybody thought I was crazy. I initially was going to do a grain-to-glass distillery, which is what one does, like that's what you do. And I was investigating the history of whiskey making in Clare very specifically because, you know, I wanted to understand the heritage. And while I was doing that, I discovered there was an antique dealer from Milltown Malby called Davoc Rin, who was selling these labels from the 1890s from J.J. Corey. And the whiskey labels, they said on them, carefully bonded and bottled by J.J. Corey. And I'd never seen the term before. So it led me down this huge path of like investigating parliamentary archives and just doing a huge amount of research to understand what was whiskey bonding. I discovered it was a lost part of the heritage of Irish whiskey. It was very, very common all around the island. Even now, you'll see the term whiskey bonder written above pubs. And essentially what it meant was these guys, they didn't distill the whiskey, they bought it in and they blended it, custom blended it very often for the merchant families or the landlord families in their town. And they created these kind of unique flavor profiles. So I thought that was a really interesting angle, you know, and I looked at it as a business model as well. And it's a very sensible business model. And I felt, forget the grain to glass distillery. We're going to bring back the lost art of Irish whiskey bonding.
So how do you go about that? I mean, I wouldn't have a clue, obviously. So where did you start? Where did you begin?
You just the first thing I did was print business cards and call myself a CEO, you know, and went around telling everybody that's what I was. And then your reality kind of it forms around you, really. It's, you know, it's a mad idea opening a whiskey company. I really wouldn't recommend it. Like, it's very difficult business and it's very capital intensive. So in terms of starting, you just say you're going to do it and then figure it out as you go along, you know. And I had a lot of happy accidents along the way. I had a lot of luck. I met the right kind of people so that I could source whiskey. I'm fortunate that I have a lot of contacts in the industry that I can rely on in terms of helping me out and getting a route to market. So the answer to that is you just do it. You just go.
And you started this 5 years ago?
2015. Yeah, 2015. We hit the market in terms of a product in the market in 2017.
So how many people are you employing now?
So we have 5 people now. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And how difficult was it then with COVID-19? I mean, that must have been such a disaster in so many ways.
Yeah. I haven't really processed it, I don't think, properly. But I think in about a year I'll be able to do that. But we went from having lots of revenue. We were due to do double this year what we did last year to having zero revenue in sight. All of my distributors were shut down all over the world. All the restaurants were shut down. The bars were shut down. The shops were shut down in a lot of countries as well. And we're a global business, so we were affected across the board. So it was terrifying. And it just meant you had to rip up the business plan, throw it out the window. And then every morning we'd get the team on a call and go, okay, what's your idea today? Like, what can we do? What can we change? What can we sell? What can we do? It was a terrifying time from a business perspective because I wanted to keep everybody on payroll. That was my core focus, you know. And you need 2 things in a crisis. I think you need cash and courage. And we were lucky that we had a bit of cash to keep us going. And then we had the courage to make all kinds of crazy decisions and innovate our way through the crisis. And we've managed to do that.
How did you innovate?
You know, we did this thing called, for example, a crowdsourced blend, right? So I got on the internet and I said, all right, we're going to make a new blend. And you, the public out there, you're all going to be involved in making that blend. And we sent out all these kits and all these blends to people. And we got them online. We had a big sort of tasting session with them and we allowed them to sort of pick the final blend. That's currently being bottled and it's all going to be sort of pre-sold when we go out there. We started to sort of sell things online. We did a partnership with a local brewery called Western Herd and we were able to sell whiskey direct. We're doing cocktail kits, you name it, like all the sort of stuff that we weren't going to be doing before.
I was amazed when I was reading up about you, Louise. I mean, your most expensive whiskey is how much a bottle?
It's about 7,500 euros.
My God. Yeah. Wow.
It's worth it.
Is it worth it?
It's worth it, yeah. Yeah.
And I know that you also make with Clare connections there of the Chapel Gate, which means an awful lot to the people of Clare, obviously. But an ordinary bottle of whiskey, how much does it cost?
Starting at about 60 euro. Like we're a higher end whiskey kind of in general, but around about 60 euro, you'll find it.
And you're garnering huge, many prestigious awards around the world. So the quality here is world ranking.
Yeah, the quality, and that's what I focused on in the early years, and that remains a focus. You can, you know, have the whiz-bangiest kind of marketing you like, but if your quality isn't there, you're finished. So we do very well on awards and from a qualitative standpoint.
And next Monday, you're opening your gates to the public. Why have you decided to do that, Louise?
Yeah, it's a COVID decision as well. You know, we had a lot of bookings in from American tourists over the summer. We were going to just open privately for tours. Those all disappeared. So we're open publicly and we're hoping to welcome lots of people from all over Ireland. We're right along the Wild Atlantic Way. We're near Dunbeg, we're near Kilrush, we're near Spanish Point. It's a beautiful location. We'll be offering people whiskey tours and tastings, the opportunity to open a cask and have a highball whiskey class. It's a lovely experience, a lovely way to spend a couple of hours down in County Clare.
Well, Louise McGowan, you're certainly entrepreneurial and I admire your courage and particularly during COVID-19, but even more so just to start a business in Cork Clare. So well done and employing 5 people in total. And we wish you all the success in the world. And thank you indeed for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much.